word in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again this evening for another opportunity to come and gather around your word. We pray this evening that you'll break afresh to us again the bread of life and feed us, Lord, with the finest of the wheat, Lord. We just thank you, Lord God, for a calling to gather. And we thank you, Lord, that you have made us obedient unto your voice and willing, Lord. And we just pray, Lord Jesus Christ, now that as we gather, Lord, unto you, in that name, Lord God, which you have set far above every other name, Lord, that every spirit, Lord, that would be contrary to the presence of God will be made subject to the moving of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I pray, Lord, you'll minister unto hearts this evening in a special way, in a special manner. And Lord, also reveal the secrets of the heart, and Lord, meet the desires of the heart for those that's desiring, Lord, to hear from you. Grant them their request, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that you are a very present help in the time of trouble, and that you are touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord. Lord, that you're not a God that's afar off. Lord, we don't have to shout, Lord, so that you can hear us, but Lord, we shout for joy, we shout for victory. But Lord God, we know that you even hear the thoughts. Lord, you know our thoughts, Lord. Lord, your servants even said that our thoughts are louder than our words. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you know the innermost being, Lord. You know the secrets of our heart. Nothing is hid from you. Lord, the things that are done in darkness are as though they're done in the light, and things that are behind closed doors are as though they're done in the open. And Lord, we just know, Lord God, that you are a mighty God. Lord, that you know all things, Lord, and there's nothing, like Jeremiah said, is nothing is too difficult for thee. Lord, we just bless your holy name this evening, and we pray, Lord God, for the ministry of the Holy Ghost to be present in our midst. Bless the pastor as he comes and anoint him with fire, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And Lord, if anyone should listen in to this recording at a later date, we pray, Lord God, that the quickening power of God will come off the words, Lord, that be spoken unto the hearer. And if any is not saved, that they'll be convicted and converted. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it, giving God the glory. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Can we try that little course? Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the sea by thy great power, and nothing is too difficult for thee. Amen. Let's stand on our feet while we sing it. And we'll just sing a couple of courses. Maybe we'll sing, actually want to sing a hymn as well, but sing this course if we can. Amen. I'm not sure if I've got the music for it, but we can join in. There's a little bit I'm not too sure about, but we'll give it a go.
Nothing is too difficult.
enter his courts with praise. Amen. Sing this, and then I'll ask the pastor to come. We'll sing the hymn at the end. Amen. Amen. Let's sing it now. I will
everyone this evening. The devil's mad,
yes.
And I'm glad, for I'm the lad he thought he had. Aren't you glad tonight that the Lord's got you, not the devil? My, he wanted you and he wanted me. He wanted every one of us. But Jesus said no. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Well, she took away notion tonight. She's not going to cooperate. Praise God anyhow. She doesn't want to turn tonight. She's like some of us, like myself at times. Praise the Lord anyhow. There's too many birthdays, my way. Let's turn to Leviticus tonight. Leviticus chapter 3. And we want to read from Leviticus chapter 3, from verse 1 down to verse 12. I know it's quite a lengthy reading, but let me just read a few verses of it, and then you can read it along while I'm sharing the Word of God with you tonight, so that I don't take too long reading it. Let me just read a few verses tonight from chapter 3. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering, and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron's sons the priests shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that cover the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys and the fat that is in them, which is by the flanks and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys it shall he take away, and Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. He shall offer a lamb for his offering. Then shall he offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's son shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about upon the altar. And he shall offer the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The fat thereof, the whole rump, it shall he take of the hard by the backbone, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is the flanks and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall be take away, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar that is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. And if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. Let's just bow our heads tonight. If you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up again to the Lord. Praise the Lord this evening. Thank God tonight. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the name that you have set far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we have access, open access, by the new and living way because of the rent veil into the very holiest of holies, into your presence tonight. Lord, we thank you tonight for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. We plead the merits and the power of that blood afresh on our lives and over all in this house tonight, and over all that's near and dear to us. We claim household salvation. Amen. For every single one in this room represented tonight. We ask for household salvation for everyone, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. We pray, Lord, this evening for the hands raised, meet every need. Answer prayer, for we know you will, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now, and I thank you that you will. Lord, for all those in need, we think of the Hines family tonight, our sister Lauren and all the family circle. Father, that you'll comfort them and strengthen them and bless them. And for all widows tonight, bless and strengthen and comfort in Jesus' precious name. Father, we give you the praise and all the glory for all you've done and for all you're going to do in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Praise God. Tonight I want to just talk for a moment, and it's in your Bible as well. It's the heading is a peace offering. And I just want to talk for a few moments about the peace offering tonight. And you know that peace offering, and you can write this down, is through Christ. And there can be no peace offering without Christ. So when you speak of a peace offering, you have to put with it through Christ. And without Christ, there can be no peace offering. So every time when you go into Leviticus and you read peace offering, think of it through Christ. Then in this peace offering, we may see Jesus as the way. And the meat offering, Jesus as the truth. And the burnt offering, Jesus as the life. In the peace offering, the leading thought is communion with the worshiper. And we can only have communion with God through Christ. And without Christ, we have no communion with God. We were at a distance from God. But it is through Christ we can have communion with God. It is not Christ as enjoyed exclusively by God, but as enjoyed by the worshiper in communion with God. So it's not just that the Father is blessed with the Son, and he is, but we as worshippers can be blessed before God because of what Christ has done. In the chapter, the peace offering is brought before us in three aspects, in verse 1 to 2 as the ox, and in verse 7 to 3 as the lamb, and in verse 12 as the goat. Now I'm going to just hit highlights tonight because, you know, I'll be honest with you, every time you go into this, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I go through it, it'll take weeks to preach it probably, and then you get into it and you can add more weeks on to that again. The Bible's unending. One thought in it runs to something else and it explodes. It's like a rocket that explodes and goes out. I think that's even how William Branham talked about the seals, wasn't it? About the explosion of a rocket going out. There's such truth in the Word of God. As the ox Christ was strong and patient as a lamb, meek and gentle, as the goat despised and rejected by men. Our three offerings may represent also degrees of the appreciation of the offering of Jesus Christ and his believing people. And looking into the offerings, we notice this, and I'm going to start from verse 1 tonight. It could be male or female. And the Bible tells us in Galatians 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, if you're all one in Christ. And you know, when the Lord changes us, we're going to be changed. And there's no one given in marriage or taken in marriage in heaven. You know, where they're trying to deceive the Lord. And the fella, you know, got married and then he died and that woman was left and her brother married and there was about six of them, wasn't that right? And they all married the same woman and they tried to trick Jesus and said, now whose wife will she be in the resurrection? And Jesus says, yes, do her, not knowing the scripture. For there's neither male nor female in heaven, for you're as the angels. There'll be no such thing as like we are here with male and female in the sense of knowing each other. We will be changed. Completely changed by the power of God. In our fellowship with God, there's neither male nor female. All are one in Christ Jesus, the living. The living Lord. You know, God's wonderful, isn't it? He's almighty. You know, the Lord keeps dealing with me with this thought, almighty God. Not just God, but he's almighty God. And I might get a wee bit into that tonight. Verse 1 also, it must be without blemish before the Lord. I tell you, even in this Old Testament, the lamb that was offered had to be without blemish before the Lord. And I think I took up the other week and we saw from Scripture that Jesus Christ was a lamb without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. That's how the Word of God talks about him. He's absolutely unique in his person and in his presence and everything. He's unique. The Lord is different from everybody else in that he's absolutely perfection personified. That's why it took him to die for you and me. One sinner could never save another sinner, but Jesus Christ knew no sin, and he had no sin, and he died to save sinners. Galatians 3:28 says, whatever a man may say or do concerning his son, God must see no blemish within, without. Even, you know, even the devils, the very devil says, thou art the Holy One of Israel. The demons recognize him as the Holy One. Thou art the Holy One of Israel. Are you come to torment us before the time? There's a lot of religious people today don't recognize him, but demons recognize him as holy. They know, but he's power over them. And we heard this morning with the name of Jesus, and that was a wonderful testimony where Brother Larry took that man down to the river and they prayed for him and God delivered him. And it's wonderful to hear a demon crying out in terror under the anointing of God. And he must come out. And I remember in Mashango, Zimbabwe, an old woman possessed with a very powerful devil. And the devil spoke out of her. And the devil told me, he says, I've been here since she was a very young woman and I'm not coming out. And the devil was told, you're not just coming out, but you're coming out now. Yes. And when you get out, and he let me know where he was from. And just down the road a bit was a place where there was lots of witchcraft. And he told me he was from there, he had other devils down there. And I said, well, you better go down to them and tell them I'm coming that road. And God delivered her. And there was a church started, which is still there. from that one woman's testimony. And there's a brother contacted me some time back. He tuned into one of these meetings when we used to do it on the Facebook thing. And he said that he was in them meetings. And he even knew the sermon I preached. It was about the blood of Jesus. And it, not only that, there was a prophecy in them meetings. And you know what the prophecy said? The prophecy said, tonight you're hearing the real end time message preached. That's what the prophecy said. Someone was having a debate what the end time message would be. And the Holy Spirit spoke out and said, tonight you're hearing it, and I preach in the blood of Jesus. The gospel is the real end time message. I was talking to the Lord about this the other day, and I was saying, Lord, what is the real gospel? The message at the end, he said, the gospel. It's the real end time message. Not only is it the end time, I think it was our brother John preached on it, where it says in Revelations, the everlasting gospel. Thank God for the gospel tonight. There's power in the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Praise God. Here in verse 3 also there must be an identification. He shall lay his hands upon the head of the offering. I tell you, you could be identified with some denomination and that's fine. I'm not here tonight to talk about denominations. But I want to tell you that you must be identified with Jesus Christ. There must be a time in your life and your experience where you can say that you laid your hands by faith on the person of the Lord Jesus and you were identified with Christ and you called on his name and he done something in you and upon you and you're identified with him. And here there had to be an identification with the offering. A peacemaker must be worthy of the trust of both parties. The atoning blood of Christ shed for all justifies only those who by faith identify themselves with him. You see, the blood tonight can cleanse the whole world, but it only will cleanse those that identify with him. Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then also we see in verse 2, that it must be killed at the door. There must be death. And Paul speaks of it in Hebrews, that the testament is dead. It is without life, except to be the death of the testator. And if there be no death of the testator, that testament is not an effect. In other words, for you to have the full right to the will and the power of the will, the person that owns that will dies, and the full will lays to you. And Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago. And all the power and all the blessings of that name is given unto the believer tonight. There's something in the will that's been willed to you. And he says all power is given unto you through that name. That in the name of Jesus Christ, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. There's power in the name. Whatsoever you ask in my name, you can have it. Power in the name. You see, it must be killed at the door. There must be the death. If we are saved by his life, it is the life from the dead. The life of Christ before the cross didn't save us. Sure didn't. But we know that Christ had a life before the cross. And we can see the life of Christ before the cross. But it was a life of Christ after the cross because he died on the cross and God raised him from the dead and the life that was in his blood come back in the church. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost. Amen. But we could never have that life until that blood was shed. And when the blood was shed, the token was released. The life was released. And that life comes come back in the believer. Because Romans 8 says, if the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. That word means make alive. And remember, everyone that's not saved tonight, you were dead in sins according to Ephesians, in trespasses and sins. You were dead in them, but you hath he quickened. Because of the power of the blood, you're quickened. It was the evidence of his fitness to the sinner's substitute before God. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Verse 2 also, there's a lot of stuff in verse 2. The blood must be sprinkled on the altar. The altar signifies the just claims of God. To him atonement must be made, the propitiation or covering for sin made by the death of the resurrected Christ. And Jesus Christ made an offering that God accepted. You know, there was offerings made before, all down through the Old Testament, there was offerings made. But the offerings that were made, even though there was blood shed, and even though there was offerings made, those offerings never took sin away. They covered it for a season. They were temporal. But this offering, the Bible says, was offered up once and for all. And it appeased God. It satisfied God. So that we could be saved, not just for a season, but for all time and for all eternity. We're saved because it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. The propitiation or covering from sin made. The death and resurrection of Christ is wide enough for all. The blood upon the altar speaks of acceptance of the offering. Let me read you this sweet quotation, and I don't read many quotations, but this is from a message called The Position of a Believer in Christ. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at you. He looks at the Lamb. He looks at Christ, and there was no fault in him. And God accepted the offering, and you put your hands on the Lamb, Jesus Christ, confess your sins as being a sinner. And the Lamb has died for you. The Spirit that comes out of the Lamb comes back to the believer. Amen. And you stand perfected because the one who died, the innocent one, the powerful one, the overcoming one, the accepted one, in his own person returned in the form of the Holy Ghost and brings the believer into the rest. And Paul says there is a rest that remaineth for the people of God. And the rest that Paul's talking about is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you cease from your own works, you give it over to God. He's done it for you. And he done it through Christ. There it is, not you, him. God don't even see you. He sees him. You don't have to die. He died in your place. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. There's the fountain. Come to the Lamb and confess your sins. Christ done it for us. You see, when we talk about perfection, and many times we say, we have no perfection here, you could argue that that's wrong. And yet you could agree it's right. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? Because you see, Christ is perfect. And we're made perfect in him. So our perfection, as far as we go, we couldn't do it of ourselves. But yet in him, we're made perfect. Because he's perfect. Amen. That's what makes it. But you see, when you take the blood out, you've no message. It does away with everything. That's why the devil hammers it. That's why he delights in preachers. He doesn't mind you preaching on a whole lot of these mysteries and different things as long as he can keep you off preaching on the blood. You know, I was thinking, and I've been thinking for a while, you know, we're coming up into another generation. You know, the generations go on and another generation comes in. And you think of many churches today and they're preaching great. The things they're preaching are true. But yet the simple things are not preached. But they have to be preached to the children. A young man and a young woman doesn't need to hear about some mystery. They need to hear about Jesus Christ on the cross. You can't start them anywhere else. You must start them at Calvary. And if they don't start at Calvary, they're not started. And this is a big problem I see. But it's a sad one. And God needs young men. Young men. God needs young men. That will consecrate their lives. That will consecrate their praying. Reading the Bible. Seeking the face of God. Read books of men that God used. Not some philosophers and stuff like that. But great men of God. Read about them. That will inspire you to seek God. And to follow after God. That's the reason I read of some wonderful men of God. And I'm doing it for 30 years and I still do it. You know, if I pick up anything at all of C.H. Spurgeon, it blesses me. But someone of William Branham's, it blesses me, or Wigglesworth, it blesses me, because they were men of God. And God's left them for our encouragement, and we can read, but it is Christ that we look to. That's a real source, Jesus Christ. Verse 3, this offering was made by fire. The fire of God's judgment has fallen upon it before peace can come to the erring soul. The fire of God's judgment. You know, if you were to come with me tonight, now the picture here, and we come through the gate into the outer court of the tabernacle, and we would come through the gate, and what's the first thing you see when you come through the gate? You see the blazing altar of sacrifice. And it is wood overlaid with brass so that it doesn't burn it to bits, but the brass speaks of judgment. And the thing about that brazen altar of sacrifice, all the cups, the spoons, every single thing else fits in it. And everything fits in Jesus Christ. It's all in Jesus Christ. And the brass over the wood speaks of his humanity. He was just a man. But the brass over it speaks of God's judgment on Christ as a man. Because he took our place. And there's fire in it. And that's the wrath of God that should have been upon you and me. Christ took it. And he bore it at Calvary. Now, having time the night to go on into the tabernacle, I'd get well ahead. And, you know, but I love to preach about it. You see, some people think, you know, there's nothing to it. But that's where they're wrong. You see, these five books of Moses, these are wonderful books. And you could preach the gospel out of these five books of Moses very powerfully. Because as Brother Laurie said this morning, they didn't have the Bible they read, but they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and they speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And this is how you have the Word of God. It is God speaking. You see, he suffered for us, the just for the unjust. Then verse 3 to 5, that he might bring us to God. In verse 3 to 5, we see that our choice parts of the offering were laid upon the altar. The affections and energies of Christ were all toward his Father's glory. And all the effects of Christ and all the passion, all for his Father's glory. Jesus came to glorify the Father. Do you know that? Yeah. And you know the Holy Spirit comes to glorify Jesus. There's a blessed truth on that, you know, if we could just get a hold of it there, brother. Has it up, praise God. Now, you know, when you tell you now, when you go through them gates, now if you come back to them gates they're upheld with five pillars. Four pillars. Four. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there's a message in every one of the four. But you come to that next veil into the holy place, and it's upheld by five pillars because there's five epistles. And every one of them posts is kept with a brass cap. And there's ropes, and there's a message in the ropes. There's a message in the caps. And there's all the colors in that gate. And the star speaks of Christ. The blue speaks of the Lord from heaven. The red speaks of blood. The purple speaks of his royalty. And the white speaks of his humanity. He's from the earth, as it were. But we are the first Adam was, but the second one's the Lord from heaven. But I can't get well later on tonight, brother. Praise God. It's wonderful. There's a depth in this stuff. Now you think if I had a wee bit of time. I don't have much time. I'm preparing for these things. But you just imagine if I have time, I could spend all day in there. And God can just open it up to you. And you know, we hear Ian Paisley preaching over the years, and some of you fellas have heard him preaching. But I know a man that traveled with him. And he went to Canada with him. And he said when Ian Paisley was away from the politicians, and in time alone with God, he says, you fellas over here never really heard him preaching well at all. He says, you want to hear him preaching in Canada when he had time to wait and study with the Lord. Now, I know he waited and studied, but when he didn't have all them other things going, he says, you want to hear him preaching then. And he told me what he preached. He went down into Genesis, and he started out, and he says he's never in meetings like it. because he had time to preach. And he could drive along the road and say, tell them, you see, book such and such, go to page 55, and here's what it reads. He, that's the memory he had. You know, C.H. Spurgeon could take a book and do that with it and read it. That's how fast he could read. And C.H. Spurgeon wasn't an ordinary person. He was special. He had a special memory. Not everybody has that. But he had a special memory. God done that for a reason. And you can delve into that today. And there's stuff there that will take you a lifetime to search out, but it's in front of you. You see, in this age, God unveiled everything. We're blessed. We are a blessed people. So blessed. This offering was fire before the Lord. Look at verse 5. It was a sweet savor unto the Lord. This does not mean that a bare satisfaction is if only a debt had been paid, but a sweet delight. It's one receiving a great gift. And you know, we have received the greatest gift that we could ever receive, and that is God's wrath gift. And we're coming up to the time of the year when we're all looking forward to receiving the wrath gift. Are you looking forward to it? I am. My, you'd see my old cub on Christmas morning if there was nothing there. You'd be the same. I know rightly you would. It's not the truth. But we've a wrath gift. That was Christ. That little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know, when you think of that wee baby, Daniel and Micah's wee baby just born, and Victoria's wee baby just born, and all the signs of it. And then you think of God Almighty condescending and Lord Himself. And a prophet of God said, little Emmanuel laying in a manger. God with us. That's a mystery, isn't it? Only God could do it. Thank God for it. God will be glorified through all eternity because of His Son's obedience unto death. He was obedient unto death. Many times we pray it. He set His face as a flint to go up to Jerusalem. He prayed, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine. He came to do the Father's will. Look at Isaiah 42 verse 1. Isaiah 42 verse 1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles. You see, this offering as well, and we're in Leviticus 3, but in Leviticus 7 verse 34. Now you keep in Leviticus 3 if you want. But Leviticus 7 verse 34, for the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by statute forever for among the children of Israel. Now you see this breast and this shoulder. When you get in there and you start to think of this breast and this shoulder, you can get clean away with it. And go down a whole line on Almighty God. Because one of the names Almighty God in the Hebrew means El Shaddai. And El Shaddai means a strong-breasted one who consoles, who comforts, who strengthens. And this breast speaks to us tonight of the strength of the Lord. That when you're weary, He gives you strength and He comforts you. And then you see also this shoulder. And the Bible speaks of the shoulder in Isaiah 9 verse 6. For the government shall be upon his shoulder. He beareth us up on his shoulders. He carries us. Hallelujah. What a Savior. I'm reminded of the wee song on the book. That wee book is called the Footprints. And when the person looked down and they only saw two sets of footprints, and they said, Lord, we were going through the desert, but you left me. And they only saw two sets of footprints. And the Lord said, no, that was not when I left you. That was when I buried you up upon my shoulders and I carried you. Those were my footprints you saw in the sand. And the Lord bears us up on his shoulders. The shoulders speak of strength. They speak of power. And the Lord carries us. You remember when I preached the powerless of faith? Either you'll paralyze the devil or the devil will paralyze you. And there's a wrestling contest we're in. And you see, as a wrestler, your objective is to pin your opponent's shoulders to the ground. And if you can pin his shoulders to the ground, he's defeated. But Jesus Christ pinned him. He pinned him and he bruised him with a strike to the head at the cross. He wounded our enemy with a death blow. The seed of the woman shall bruise his head. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Right in Genesis, the cross is preached. All this breast and the shoulder were taken by the Lord and given back to the offerer. It is most significant, the breast. You know, it's the affections of the Lord Almighty. In the Hebrew, El Shaddai. You can read it in Genesis 17, verse 2, and Genesis 49, verse 25 to 26. And it starts out, Almighty God. And you look into the Hebrew, you see that speaks of the Lord's strength, the mightiness, the El. Thou art El that dost wonders. Thou hast made known thy strength among the people. Psalm 77, verse 14. And then Shaddai itself occurs 48 times in the Old Testament. And is translated Almighty. So when you take El, you're speaking about the strength. And El Shaddai, you're speaking about Almighty. And this is how you get the phrase. He's not just God. He's Almighty God. You see, when you talk about the God of the Seven Age, that's good. But I'm not working with that. I'm working with Almighty God. And he made the God of this evil age. And he's power and dominion over him. And he is the one true God. And he said to Israel, oh, hear Israel. You serve the Lord your God, the one true Lord. One Lord. Aren't you glad there's one Lord tonight? There's no confusion with that. Sure there's not. One Lord. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. Hallelujah. And he's here tonight in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's in this very room. And he's a strong-breasted one. Another word, so like it and from which we believe is to be derived, occurs 24 times in his translated breast. The title Shaddai signifies one who nourishes, supplies, and satisfies. And he nourishes, he strengthens us. Strengthens us. My, you know, when the wee baby's crying in the natural and the mother leans it on her breast and she nourishes it and it's satisfied. Even though it's not feeling too well, it satisfies. It gets a satisfying portion. And I tell you tonight, believers, the Lord has a satisfying portion for you. The Lord has a satisfying portion for me. And if you just lean upon the strong one tonight and be satisfied, nourish upon him. And he'll satisfy you. Devil will run you. But if you'll only take a few moments and lean on him and rest on him and cease from your own works, hallelujah! For he's done the work for us. We cease from our own works. Thank God tonight there's a rest for the people of God. You don't know how much Larry encouraged me this morning when he preached. There's a change in me. God has spoke to me. I've been praying hard. I needed God to talk to me, and he talked to me this morning through our brother. Thank God for his mercy. You see, connected with this word El, it becomes the one mighty to nourish, satisfy. Genesis, let me read you Genesis 49. But his bow abode in strength, and the arm of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. The mighty God. Not just God, but the mighty God. Hallelujah. From whence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, verse 25, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of deep that lieth underneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. You see, God is saying, I'm going to bless you. And the devil doesn't want to hear that message, does he? But God's saying, brother, I'm going to bless you. Sister, I'm going to bless you. Thank God tonight. Thank God, you know, you're engraved on the palms of his hands. Do you know that? Yes. And he's good thoughts for you tonight. The devil wants to finish you and me, but God's good thoughts for you. God's in control. We can't explain everything, but everything's in control. God knows the end from the beginning. The shoulder of strength both are given to us through Christ. Isaiah 9 verse 6, I've already quoted you. And the power came to us by the cross. By the cross. There never could be a Pentecost till there was a Calvary. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Thank God for the shedding of blood. It could have been eaten on the same day as it was offered. Isn't that wonderful? Leviticus 19, 5 to 6. And if you offer a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it. And on the morrow, and if aught remain until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. Peace and soul satisfaction came at once when Christ the peace offering is truly trusted. Instant faith brings immediate salvation. You hear that? Instant faith brings immediate salvation. You're saved now and you're saved forever. Amen. Hallelujah. What a message and what a savior. Oh, but brother, you don't know the wicked heart. It's nothing to do with it. He done it. You didn't. You had faith. And God granted you the grace to have it. How do you know? Ephesians 2 verse 8. For by grace you are saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I'm almost finished. Leviticus 19 verse 6. It was to be eaten to the third day. It shall be eaten the same day as you offer it. And on the morrow. And if aught remain unto the third day, you shall burn it with fire. The third day points to the resurrection. The grave could not hold them. It couldn't hold them. Buddha and Muhammad are still in the grave. Whatever's left them, I don't know if they've preserved them or whatever they've done with them, but I know that they're still in the grave. But Jesus Christ's body, our bones are nothing, it's in the grave. But Jesus Christ rose on the third day triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And it doesn't stop there. It goes further, for he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. What a gospel we have. What a savior. The Lord lives tonight. He lives to make intercession. Oh, but how can I touch him? He is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. We have a great high priest. Not just any priest. A great high priest. Amen. After the order of Melchizedek. Do you know why it says that? Because that's the highest order. That's higher than Aaron's order. It's higher than any other order. It's after the order of Melchizedek. The highest order there is. We have a priest of that order tonight. And he's touched. When you're suffering and you pray, he's touched. He knows your prayers. The devil wants to tell you God doesn't hear you. He does it with me constant, all the time. God doesn't hear you. He's not hearing your prayer. Sure, that's never happened. Everything our brother preached this morning. But our brother mentioned it on this pulpit tonight. That was another confirmation. He knows our very whisper. Before we even say it. And Jesus says, before you even pray, I'll answer you. He knows our very thoughts. Our thoughts speak louder than 1,000 words. The Lord loves you tonight. Sister, the Lord loves you. Brother, the Lord loves you. Young person, the Lord loves you. Jesus is mighty to save. Don't you give up on your children. I don't care where they're at, what they're doing, how deep they've got down. Jesus can turn them. He can reach them. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, pardon receives. Let's stand our feet this evening as we come to the end of our service, and our brother's going to come in a moment. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Just let's think of these things this evening. If God has spoke to you, and you would say, Brother Tom, would you pray a prayer for me? Will you lift your hand to the Lord? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you this evening. Maybe there's a man or a woman listening to this message at a later date. The Lord can save you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord in the last days shall be saved. All you have to do is acknowledge your position. Your position is you're guilty and you're a lost sinner. But Christ's position is that he died for you and he can save you. All you have to do is call. Call on his name and you'll be saved. But what about the strength? Till as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. Heavenly Father, I speak your name over everyone in this house tonight, the name of Jesus. Lord, you see every hand raised. Lord, I'm asking you to meet that need and that young man or woman tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sin. What a Savior, mighty to save, mighty to heal, mighty to fill on your coming again. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe in me also. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life tonight. Father, bless everyone in this house. I pray for Philip. For everything he's asked you for, bring it forth. I call for it to come forth in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke every work of the devil tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for Aidan Brown. I don't know what's happening, but he wasn't good. But I ask you, Lord, you'll spur him. And I pray you'll speak to him. And Lord, that you'll do something on him. He prayed the sinner's prayer. And he said he believes, but I pray the power of the Holy Ghost will come on that man in the name of Jesus. Come on every one of us afresh. Touch these young people tonight. Every boy, every girl in this meeting, touch them. And for young men in here with the call of God on their life, may you confirm it on them. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Oh God, make them hungry for the kingdom of God. Lord, help every one of us. Bless your brother, Laurie. We thank you for his faithfulness. We thank you for his obedience to the Holy Spirit. We pray you'll give him strength, dear Lord. Oh, God, give him strength for many years yet. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, this evening, for all our sons and our daughters, we ask you to cover them with your blood and to save every one of them. Household salvation. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray again for our sister Lynn tonight. Lord, we're asking you for mercy and grace, for full strength and health to come upon her. We bless her in Jesus' name. For Brother Edward, we bless him in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for everywhere for the true gospel's preached, that you will bless and save in Jesus' mighty name. Bless us now. Help us as we worship you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you as your brother comes. God bless each one. And he's glad tonight. You're glad and you're not sad. Praise God. God bless you. Don't forget, we'll be back Wednesday night. And praying's important. I don't want to be preaching too long on Wednesday. Short message and time for prayer. And maybe I'll try and do it a bit shorter on Wednesday so we can pray more. Because we need to pray. If we had our own hall, we could have a night for praying separate. But we don't have that, but we're going to have it, brother. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Some of you believe it. Let's speak it and believe it. Yes. Amen. God bless you. Come ahead, brother.
Amen. Praise God. Can we sing the hymn? And my Saviour suffered on the tree, glory to the bleeding lamb. Well, come and praise the Lord with me, glory to the bleeding lamb. heart bless this evening. We'll ask you just to bow your head and ask Brother Jordan if he'll close in prayer this evening. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, thank you, Lord, for your heart, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you are the mighty God, the everlasting Father.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, there's nothing too hard for you, Lord. And Lord, we lift you up tonight, Lord. You said, Lord, we lift you up. You'll draw all men to yourself, Lord. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, you reveal yourself in the Old Testament. But Lord, thank God tonight, not under grace, but under the blood.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, you're coming King. And Lord, help us to be obedient, Lord.
Yes.
Go out into the world, Lord, and preach the gospel, Lord, and tell people that they must be born again. Lord, give us boldness, Lord, we didn't realize we had.
Yes.
Take away all fear from each one of us, Lord. Lord, each one of us has got a gift. Help us to exercise, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Put it into action, Lord.
Jesus,
thank you for our glorious word, bringing our word of encouragement to our hearts, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for him, Lord. Bless him. Lord, I pray you'll bless him in his latter years, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus Christ. Yes. Lord, there's one here tonight, Lord, that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
let this be the night,
Lord,
that he'll give us life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, we're saved, redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, demons flee in that name, Lord. That name of Jesus, Lord, is healing, is power, is salvation. There's everything in your name, Lord.
Amen.
And Lord, we lift that beautiful name up tonight, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we love you, Lord.
Yes.
We're not ashamed of that name, Lord. Tonight,
hallelujah.
Lord. Bless the pastor, Lord. Bless his family. Bless the newborn baby, Lord. Bless the parents. They come through the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord. Bless them, Lord, even this little baby, Lord. Look upon it, Lord. They'll see you, Lord. Name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for what you're doing. I pray, Lord, again,
yes,
that you give us a building, Lord, our
yes,
own,
Lord.
In
Jesus'
name.
Name.
We declare in the great Lord.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
We believe it, Lord.
Yes.
Give us a vision, Lord.
Yes.
Give us a vision, Lord. Of
yes, Lord.
Us,
Lord.
Help
Amen.
Us to keep praying and
yes,
praying
Lord.
And through, Lord.
Yes.
Happens, Lord.
Jesus
in the name
name.
Of Jesus Christ. Remember the widows tonight. Bless
yes.
each widow here tonight. Bless the children mostly, Lord. Bless our parents.
Amen.
Bless everyone connected to this church, Lord. Pray
yes,
goodness
Lord.
And mercy
mm.
shall follow them all the days of our lives,
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
And they shall dwell in the house
yes,
of the Lord forever.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Praise God. As we leave, we'll sing the hymn, Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears.